For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11 this morning. Matthew chapter 11. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, choir. And thank you, men, for the song. And thank you, girls. God's good, isn't he? Amen. I don't know of a better message and day to go with our theme for the year, Strengthen Thy Brethren, than having a friend day. Having a friend day and family day. And I'm glad, so glad to see the building full today. And as we put that C word behind us and move forward, and good to see all of you here. And we all need a friend, don't we? We all need help. Everybody's struggling. I heard about a preacher that was out for a walk one afternoon on a country road, and he saw a little boy struggling along the road. He was loading hay back up onto a hay wagon that had fallen off the hay wagon. And the preacher said to that little boy, the young man, he said, you look hot, son. And he said, why don't you take a break? And he said, well, I can't. He said, my dad wouldn't approve of that. And he watched him work a little bit longer. And the preacher said, well, why don't you rest a moment? I'll give you a hand. He said, no, I don't think I can. He said, well, son, everybody's entitled to a break. Is your dad a slave driver or something? Where is your dad? He said, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind, that slave driving dad. He said, well, he's under the hay. And so things aren't always as they seem. Corey, did you get that? You didn't laugh. Okay. The reason he was working so hard, his dad was under the hay, you know. Yankee fan, all the Yankee fans got it. Amen. How are the Yankees doing? But anyway, Matthew chapter 11. Looking forward to a great time after church today, having some good hot dogs with chili and amen. And since today's friend day, we're not going to have that debate. I'm just going to say, chili sauce. We'll just go ahead and say chili sauce. You know, we're so close to the Ohio River and all of that. I'm not even going to fight with you today about it. And so we'll declare a truce today. But it'll be good. No matter what you call it, it'll be good. We'll have a great time. Popcorn and pop. And how many of you call it pop? Still call it soda. Some call it soda. Coke. Everything's Coke. Amen. We'll have a great time. Thank you for your help, as Brother Grant said. Matthew chapter 11. And I want to begin reading in verse 11. Jesus is speaking here. He said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What a tribute. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. John the Baptist was in the New Testament Elijah. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's like unto children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, and you've not danced, and we have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. He was describing a generation of people that were on the fence. They couldn't decide which way to go. They didn't know whether to cry or to laugh. They didn't know where they were or anything like that. But he said in verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he hath a devil. But look what he said in verse 19, the Son of Man, which is one of the favorite descriptions our Lord spoke of himself. He was the perfect Son of God and the perfect Son of Man. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, verse 19, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a wine drinker. They called him a drunk. But notice what else they called him. a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Jesus sort of said here, you have to consider the source in all of this. But I want to just lift, if I can, that phrase, what Jesus said of himself in verse 19, a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus, a friend of sinners. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd bless, Lord, the message today. Thank you for thy word. Thank you for the songs and the testimonies today, the good Sunday school time we had. And thank you for this theme, strengthening the brethren and friendships and truth and world evangelism and Lord, family and how we need all of that. And I pray, Lord, that we'd understand that all of that is possible through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I've been thinking today and this week much about the importance and value of friendships. The Bible says a lot about friendships. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Goes on to say, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I like to think that Jesus is our friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Bible goes on to say, a friend loves at all times. A friend loveth at all times. Thank God for friendships today. Abraham was called the friend of God in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7. He didn't begin that way, but he ended that way. He was known as the friend of God. I certainly want to be a friend of God, don't you? In fact, the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so we can't be friends with the world and friends with God. But I want to make some statements about friendship today by way of introduction. Just some things that I've observed about friendships. And you can write these down or whatever, or just take note of them. By way of introduction, I want to say a word about friendships. Jesus here is called the friend of sinners and publicans, not Republican, although he is a friend of Republicans too, amen. But by way of introduction, let me say this, friends and friendships are a special gift from God. Friends are a special gift from God. Friendships are a special gift from God. I mean, of all the things in life that we have, it's when it all comes down to the end, it won't be the stuff that we have gained. It's not the stuff that we've stored. It's not the stuff that we've gone into debt for. It's not the stuff that we've polished on and held on to. It's friendships and family that make all the difference, isn't it? Secondly, our friends are to be loved and valued. Our friends are to be loved and valued. Joe, we need to find you a friend, man. You're up here all alone on the front row, man. And friendships are to be loved and valued. Can I come down and sit with you? Amen. I can preach from down there. And man, I'm always glad to see folks on the front row. Amen. That's an encouragement to the preacher. You know you've had a big day when the front row's filled. But friendships are to be loved, and friends are to be loved and valued. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Secondly, it takes time, or thirdly, it takes time, but no talent or money is needed to be a friend. Aren't you glad about that? It does take time to be a friend. And fourthly, let me say this. We're to invest in our friends, but not because we hope to gain from them. It's not like, what have you done for me lately, and I'll be your friend. But we ought to invest in our friends and friendships because we care for them, and we should share and show that love to our friends. Don't you think that's true? And then number five, if we're to win others to Christ, we must show love and friendship. I mean, we won't win others to God, to the God of love, if people don't sense our love for them. Here's the thing, if people don't like you, they're probably not going to like your God. Now, that's not always true, but we have to show the love of God to other people, and there are a lot of ways to do that. That's the great part about living the Christian life is learning how to share and show the love of God and friendships to others. Then number six, we're to be loyal and true to our friends. We're to be a friend to our friends. I told a story at the end of Sunday school last hour. Sometimes our friends, they get out of fellowship with God. They get out of fellowship with us, and they get crossways with family, and all of that. Now, I said Wednesday night, you know, you can't have friends in your family. Some of you, you know, some families love hard and they fight hard and they love hard. And hey, we ought to have some friendships in our family. Amen. I mean, Hatfields and McCoys. We're to be loyal and true to our friends. We're to be a friend to our friends while not justifying their sin. We don't justify their sin, but we're a friend to our friends. Can I give you an example that Jesus gave John the Baptist? A great compliment in these verses. John the Baptist was about to die, and his head would be, he would be beheaded, and he would suffer a martyr's death. And John the Baptist, I mean, as great a man as he was, I don't understand all about this passage. There's different ways to interpret this. But when push came to shove and John the Baptist's head was about to be taken off, he said, I'd like to ask one question. He said, I just want to ask the question. John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, and he sent two of his disciples and said unto Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He said, I just want to hear it one more time. I'm about to die here for your name and for your cause and all of that. Are you the one that should come, or should we look for another? I think he just wanted to hear it one more time, Brother Leedy. And Jesus said, well, you go back, you tell John, the blind receive their sight. Amen. Tell John the lame are walking. Tell John the lepers are cleansed, and tell John the deaf are hearing, and tell John the dead are being raised up, and the poor, thank God the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me or because of me. And then he talked about John the Baptist. He said, what went ye out to see? A reed shaken in the wind. He said, his faith is not lacking. He said, I've never known anyone greater that ever named the name of God than John the Baptist. What a compliment it said of him. Yet he called Judas Iscariot friend. When Judas Iscariot came and kissed him on the cheek and brought the rabble-rousers to come and arrest him and the soldiers to arrest him, and he said, Hail, Master, and kissed him on the cheek. And Jesus said, Hello, friend. Jesus would give Judas great honor at the Last Supper in John 13. And he would, as the host, he would feed him and put the sop upon his tongue. He would wash his feet. Then he'd look him in his eye and say, what thou doest, do quickly. If you're going to betray me, go ahead, Judas, go on out. And the Bible says he went out in the darkness and sealed his fate as the son of perdition. Jesus didn't just throw the word friend around. I think when he looked at Judas, I personally believe that if Judas would have fallen on his face there before the Son of God, he could have been saved that day. But Judas didn't. John did. John the Baptist did. But let me share. This message today is just kind of a gathering of thoughts and truth that I just gathered this week. I want to give you four great truths. I've given you six or seven already. But I think about friendship. You know, a friend loves. And a friend is loyal. And a friend is logical. A friend loves, he undertakes to help others. A friend is loyal. He undergirds those and strengthens others. A friend is logical. A friend understands others. I want to be a friend. But the Bible says, they called Jesus a friend of publicans and sinners. A friend of sinners. Jesus, the friend of sinners. I love to go from Genesis to Revelation in all 66 books of the Bible and study Jesus in every book. I love to study the alphabet and go from A to Z and see where Jesus is named throughout the Bible. I don't know, but one of the greatest phrases and descriptions of the Son of God is that he is a friend of sinners. You that are listening today by live stream, I want you to know Jesus is a friend of sinners. You say, is he my friend, preacher? Yes, he's your friend. You say, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done, but I will tell you this, he's a friend of sinners. I know what I've done. I couldn't name all the sins that I've committed, But I'm glad that one day when I came to Christ, I repented of my unbelief. I turned from my unbelief and saying no to God and turned to Jesus Christ and asked Him to save me. And He did in 1972. He'll do that for you today. He's a friend of sinners. Maybe you're a saved Christian and you've gotten away from God and you've done some awful things. I want you to know God loves you and Christ is still your friend. And there's a responsibility that comes with friendship. But let me say that Jesus' enemies possibly gave Him the greatest compliment you could give to anybody. He's a friend of sinners. He was a friend to Lazarus at Lazarus' tomb in John chapter 11. When He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Mary and Martha said, Lord, You've come so late. You're 4 days late. But no, He was always on time and He is always on time today. Somebody said if He had not said Lazarus and named Lazarus, everybody in the cemetery would have gotten up and walked out. He was a friend to Lazarus. He was a friend to Nicodemus, that proud Pharisee who belonged to the Sanhedrin who came to Jesus by night. And He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. He was a friend to a harlot at noonday in John chapter 4, a woman that knew many men. But he said, if you want to drink of this water, you can drink of this water. And she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He said, I'm more than a prophet. And she believed on Him that day. He was a friend to a leper in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. In fact, he touched that leper. And that was unheard of in that day. He touched that leper, and that leper was forever cleansed. He was a friend to a paralytic in John chapter 5 who laid around that pool of Bethesda with no hope and no future, but watching for the moving of the water. And Jesus said, He said, what would you like for me to do? And he said, I'd like to be healed. I'd like to walk again. And Jesus said, stand and take up thy bed and walk. He was a friend of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And Zacchaeus, that old tax collector, climbed a sycamore tree and waited for Jesus to come by that day. He was a friend of Bartimaeus, the blind man who sat by the wayside in Jericho and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He was a friend to Judas, who he fed and honored at the Last Supper. He was a friend of the adulterous woman who was taken in adultery in the very act in John chapter 8. And Jesus told her, go and sin no more. He forgave her. He was a friend to the thief on the cross who hung on that cross. One thief said, if you're really God, then save us. And the other one said, you are God, save me. He was a friend of sinners. He's a friend of sinners. I love the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, where the Bible says a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. That Jericho's still a winding road even today, about 3,300 feet, a winding road that drops in elevation of about 17 miles. And in this story, Jesus tells about the man that fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him. And they left him, it says, half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Religion passed him up. Not only did religion pass him up, but ritual and all the things that man can do passed him up. A Levite came and he was at the place, came and looked on him. They both noticed him. They both saw him. But it says he passed by on the other side. We don't want to be bothered with this man. You know, it takes time to be a friend to people. It takes time to be a friend of sinners. It takes care. It takes love. It takes money. It might take sweat. It might take you and me getting out of our comfort zone. I'll tell you, no one got more out of their comfort zone than Jesus Christ when He went to the cross of Calvary and died for the sins of mankind and died for your sins and my sins. Jesus is a friend of sinners. But the Bible says a certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was. He came to the ditch. He got in the ditch with him. That's what Jesus did when he left heaven's glory. He came down here to this sin-cursed earth and he got in the ditch with us. He that knew no sin became sin for us and paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's what friends do, isn't it? He went to him. bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said, take care of him. That's what Jesus does, a friend of sinners. He stays with us. That's what we're to do when new converts get saved and they may fall off the wagon. They may have trouble down the road. Hey, we stay with them. And on the morrow, he said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, Jesus said, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? It said, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus showed mercy when he came and died for our sins. Secondly, notice this. Not only did they give him the greatest title that anyone could ever have, Jesus, a friend of sinners. A friend of sinners. I mean, when I look at that cross means many things, but it means that Jesus was a friend of sinners. Secondly, I want you to notice this. He was accused of welcoming sinners. Not only was he a friend, but he sat down with sinners. He got to know sinners. He loved sinners. He ate with sinners. Luke chapter 15, the Bible says of Jesus, it says in Luke 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. The publicans were the tax collectors of the day. They weren't popular then, and they're not very popular today. But in Luke 15, it says, drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, standing back, of course, murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eats with them. Not only does he receive them, not only is he a friend to them, he welcomes them and sits down and breaks bread with them. In Luke chapter 14, it says he ate with a Pharisee. Now, in Luke 15, he eats with a sinner and the publicans. Jesus is a friend of sinners. He shares 3 parables in Luke chapter 15, teaching that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he gives those parables to us. He gives the parable of the lost sheep, of the shepherd that lost, that had 100 sheep and 99 were in the fold. But he went and found the one lost sheep. Jesus is a friend of sinners. In Luke chapter 15, verse 8, he tells about the parable of the lost coin and how a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose 1 piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Jesus is a friend of sinners. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11, he tells about the parable of the lost son. A certain man had 2 sons. Remember the story of the prodigal son. And the one son said, Dad, I want my inheritance now. And he gave him his inheritance, and he went and wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he was penniless and friendless and at the bottom of the hog trough, and he got his hand down there and was getting ready to eat some of that hog slop. Some of you 4-H kids know what that is. That hog slop. And it's, the Bible says he came to himself. He said, my dad's servants are doing better than I am. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to ask my father to forgive me. And when he came across that back 40, his father was looking for him, and his father welcomed him, and he put a ring on his finger and killed the fatted calf and put a robe on his back and shoes on his feet. And he said, this is my son. This is my son who was dead, but he's alive again. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus not only was a friend of sinners and accused of that, Jesus received sinners and ate with them and welcomed them. Luke chapter 5, he answers his, or Matthew chapter, Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, he answers his critics. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me is not my friend. But in Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, he says this, Luke chapter 5, I'm finding it here. He says, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. You know, there were a lot of tax collectors getting saved in those days. I like that. Amen. I mean, anybody witnessed our assessor lately? No, he's saved. Our assessor's saved. Hey, I'm saying, not only was he a friend of sinners, not only was he accused of being a friend of sinners, he welcomed sinners. He sat down with sinners and ate with them. And not only that, but those sinners that got saved, think of this, they invited their sinner friends and told them about Jesus. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 28, and he left all, rose up and followed him, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. And don't you think that all of those that came into his house after Matthew got saved, he's inviting them and he's telling all of them. He probably put a gospel tract by every plate. He probably had Victory in Jesus playing over the CD or whatever you play. The scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said to them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Our nation's sick. Isaiah said of Judah and Israel in his day, 700 years before Christ, Isaiah said, the whole head is sick. From top to bottom. Oh, listen, our nation is sick today. It's a sin sickness. The heart of the problem in America is a problem of the heart. I want you to know Jesus is a friend of sinners. Number three, though he spent time with sinners and touched them and talked with them and spent time with them, here's the thing, no one stayed the same that came in contact with Jesus. No one stayed the same. It was a radical difference. It was a radical difference. They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. They saw their boldness. They saw the change. No one stayed the same, and neither will you and I. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we meet that friend of sinners, Jesus, 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man, therefore, if any man be in Christ, or any woman be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible tells us this. It says that we are regenerated through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. When we receive the Son of God as our Savior, we are regened. John chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. There's a new birth that needs to occur. You need a new spiritual genetics. And only God can do that. Jesus, the friend of sinners, when he went to the cross of Calvary, he took all of our sins upon him. He was nailed to that cross and shed his precious, perfect, redeeming blood for you and me. They buried him, and 3 days later, he got up. And he proved that he was the Son of God. That's why a maniac living in the cemetery in Jesus' day, filled with demons, who ran around naked and scaring people, he met Jesus. The Bible says he was clothed and seated in his right mind. God helps us. When we get right with God, we have a right mind because we have a right heart. When we get away from God, we do stupid things. We do sinful things. We get away from God. We don't think spiritually. That maniac, by the way, when the world saw him in his new position, they didn't know what to do with him. But this is what he said. He said, I'd like to go with you, Jesus. In John chapter 15, he says, go home to thy friends in Mark. Tell them. He said, go home to thy friends. Maybe you've not seen your friends in a while because you've been demon-possessed. You've been away from God. You've lived like a wild man. He said, Jesus, I'd like to stay with you. But Jesus said, go home to your friends. I think what we're saying is when we meet Jesus, the friend of sinners, we want to share him with our friends. We want to introduce our friends to the friend of sinners. God just puts that in you, doesn't he? He just puts that in you. I mean, anytime I meet somebody, I wonder if they're going to heaven, wonder if they're headed to hell. I mean, I can't help but think that way. I can't help but think about it. God put that in me one day. I think about family, and I think about friends, and I think about neighbors, and I talk about deer hunting, I talk about the economy, and I talk about cars and trucks and all kinds of things. We talk about everything, and sports. Let's not talk about sports today. 48 to 10, help us, Lord. I can't help but think, how can I talk to them about Jesus? How can I introduce them to the greatest friend I've ever met? In the darkest times, the friend of sinners is there. In the brightest and happiest times, the friend of sinners is there. In the times that we don't understand, the friend of sinners is there. Jesus is a friend of sinners. May I say finally, there's a responsibility in being His friend. There's a responsibility in being His friend. Jesus said, John 15, He said, if you do these things, you're my friend. In other words, Jesus is not saying you have to earn my love, but He's saying there is going to be a natural progression, a natural possession. There's going to be a natural possession and a possession that comes from knowing Him, where there's going to be fruit. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, He said, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. This is my command that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Have you done what He's commanded you to do? Henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Think about this. Jesus, the friend of sinners, when we get to know Him, we get inside information. He says, all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. All things. All things that about heaven, Jesus said, I want to make that known to you. All things about salvation, I want to make that known unto you. All things about victory and joy and love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and temperance and faith and meekness. Jesus said, I want to make all that known unto you. I want to tell you about heaven. I want to tell you about how to be happy. I want to tell you about how to have joy. I want to tell you about how to love people. I want to tell you about how to be a dad. I want to tell you how to be a mama. I want to tell you how to be an obedient child. I want to tell you how to be victorious. I want to tell you how to be successful in your life. Jesus said, if you're my friend, I'm going to give you all of this. I give you all of this. Who wouldn't want that friend of sinners? Complete, compassionate. Then He gives a great commission. But He said, no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What kind of friend are you? Sometimes I'm not a very good friend. I kick myself. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better friend to each of you. I want to be a better friend to the Savior. I want to be a better friend in introducing people to the friend. Dr. Charles Keene always ends every letter that he writes. Dr. Keene is a great missionary, pastor, man of God. He's preached here before. But when he ends his letter, he always says this. He says, thank you for being such a good friend to a good friend of mine. That good friend is capitalized, Jesus Christ. I want to be a good friend to Him. I want to be a good friend to you. I want to introduce others to that friend of sinners. I don't know where you are with God today, but I'll tell you this. You have a friend that's waiting in the wings. He's ready to forgive. Why don't you let Him save you today? Why don't you let Him restore you today to where you ought to be with Him?